Council Jewish Women's Oral History 2. Marcia Stewart speaking. Arlene Shapiro and I are interviewing Bessie Feingold, February 20, 1985. Mrs. Feingold, would you tell us your address?
2355 Eldred Street, Pittsburgh, 7.
In reviewing the material from our last meeting, several questions arose which we would like to clarify with you. We'd like to know more about your family. Where were your parents born?
In, Lithuania? Yeah, they're with Bucks. They were in Lithuania.
And when did they come to this country?
My father came before my mother, and he roomed with my grandmother. And my mother was 20 years old, she said, when she came to this country. And they all came to the street of Pittsburgh.
Was there family here?
Her mother and father were here, and her brothers were here. And she brought her two sisters and a brother over with her when she came.
What year?
I don't remember.
Okay. What made them, they were married in this country?
Yes, they were married in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and then they moved to Moundsville.
I was 6 months old when my parents moved to Moundsville.
Oh, right, you were born here in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Okay, and what were their names?
Lena and Joseph Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R.
Okay, so Bayer was your maiden name.
That's right.
Can you tell us more about your brothers?
Well, we were all born in Pittsburgh because my grandparents lived here. My oldest brother is a doctor. My other brother,
his name?
Dr. Harold J. Bayer. And he lives part-time in Margate, and he also has a home in Miami Lakes, Florida.
He's retired.
And I had a brother that was next to him that died at the age of 49. Then me.
And his name was?
Mitchell.
Okay.
Then I had a brother after me, James. He is a pharmacist.
Okay.
He's retired. He lives in Erie part of the time, and then he lives in New Smyrna Beach, Florida. And then my youngest brother is Harvey. He lives in Youngwood all year round. He's retired. He's also a pharmacist. Jimmy and Harvey are pharmacists.
They're both pharmacists.
They're all retired.
It's interesting that these three brothers, what was your fourth brother, the one who died?
He didn't want to go to school. He was 21 years old when he graduated high school.
But the other three were all interested in science and went on to
school. Well, the two younger Wood brothers, Pitt Pharmacy at that time was up on the boulevard of Atlas. And we lived on Locust Street at that time. And my uncle had a drugstore on Fifth Avenue, Darling Drugstore. So they used to work for my uncle all night long, and whatever they earned paid their way to go to school. And that's how they went. And they went to pharmacy, which was right up on the boulevard.
Oh, and how did your brother, what's the doctor's name, Harold, how did he manage to go to school?
He worked during the summer. He dug ditches, and at those times, he didn't have refrigerators. He delivered ice, he could to earn money for school.
Mm-hmm. And he went to school here,
He went to Pitt 2 years pre-med, got into West Virginia Medical School, and West Virginia only had 2 years of medical school, and from there he went to University of Kentucky in Louisville.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Mm-hmm.
University of Kentucky?
I think it's where
in
it was.
Lexington?
No, this is in Louisville, so it must be
University of Louisville.
Louisville, finish it off. And he interned at the Monitor Hospital.
He came back home to intern, so to speak. And when he was in practice, was he here in Pittsburgh?
He was here in Pittsburgh for a while. And after that, he went up to New York for a specialty. He was a specialist in OB and gynecology.
Mm-hmm. And he practiced in New York then? He stayed
Atlantic
there?
City.
He went to Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. He stayed on the East Coast.
Yeah, well, he got married in Antwerp, Belgium. And
during the war?
No, he met his wife in Atlantic City. He was up there for vacation with some friends, and she was on vacation with her parents from Antwerp, Belgium. And he met her there, and they, afterwards, he went to Antwerp, Belgium, and they were married, and they came back to this country.
Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's a nice person.
This is the one who has the home in Margate. Did you go to visit in the summer?
That's right.
That's
and she gets angry when I leave.
I can't think of anything that would be more flattering.
But I don't like to stay anywhere. I like to come home.
Then we were reviewing the information about going from Moundsville to Wheeling to go shopping, and we wondered how far apart these two towns
12
were.
Miles.
And how did you go there?
They had streetcars.
Streetcars, okay. Did you have a car? Or did your family have a car or a truck?
No.
Or?
My father had a truck, but that was for the business, but we never used it for pleasure.
But you went by streetcar to Wheeling then to get your meat.
Yeah, the butcher there was the Moyle, the Chazan, the rabbi, he was everything.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
So, but the only thing that you really went to Wheeling for was for meat. Everything
yeah, and
else
for the holidays we came to Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Because my mother's parents were still here.
So there was family here that you visited to go to services. Where was your early religious training?
Right at home. My parents kept kosher and observed the holidays, everything. Oh, at home.
Can you tell us more about your husband? You had mentioned that he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, before he passed away.
Yeah.
Well, I met my husband, I was 13, and he was 20. And his parents, his father sold produce to my parents in our store. They had a place in Wheeling, and they'd come down to 2-3 times a week, and that's where I met him. And we were kids together. And he would come up, we lived upstairs over our store. And he would come into our home. He managed to come at lunchtime. And always my mother would send him up for lunch. And I'd slam the door in his face. And his father said, "Don't do that. Someday you're going to marry him." I said, "Not me." And that's how I met him. And then when the holidays came after my parents got to know his parents, instead of coming to Pittsburgh then, they would go to Wheeling and stay with his parents.
What was his disability?
He was in an accident and he hurt his legs, so he was handicapped.
So, okay.
But he got around. He got around beautiful. You'd be surprised how he got around. It was towards the end that when he was sick that he had to end up in a wheelchair. But he got around beautifully.
Was he young when his accident occurred?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right after we were married. We were married over 40 years.
That's lovely. That's very nice. Have you thought any more about information that you could tell us about Lechemanim?
Well, Lechemanim was started about 65 years ago with Charlie Sable, Sophie Sachs, the Rogel brothers, and a Mrs. Feldman. And they used to give boxes out to people every week.
They did this out of their own money, or they
They collected money. They had pushies around, and they would get donations down at the produce yards. At that time, donations were easier to get. And after Mrs. Sachs died, Charlie took over, and Mrs. Feldman didn't handle much more then because she was getting too old. And then when Charlie Sable died, Ben Edelstein took it, and I helped him. And after he died, I took it over. And I've been with it for over 20 years. And I enjoyed it.
I can tell that you've enjoyed it, and it's been a very meaningful activity to you. What do you see for the future for Lechem Aniyim?
I don't know what the future is going to hold right now, because at the present, I'm not doing anything until the doctor gives me an okay. I have been very ill with a very severe heart attack.
I understand.
So I don't know what it's going to be. Because I had a meeting here yesterday with one of the men, and I gave him a list of what you ordered for cancer, so I don't know what they're going to do. So it's up to them.
Do you think that some of the people who've been receiving boxes from your organization could get supplements from Jewish Family and Children's Service?
I don't think so, for this reason. Because when they need somebody that needs food or anything, they used to call me to give the people. But there will be boxes given for Passover. There will.
You're planning the
I will, but there will be somebody that takes
care of. Somebody will take care of that.
To see that they get boxes. Because I had given this person yesterday a list of what I had ordered. And I had called people yesterday while this person was here, to find out if they're still going to come in from out of town and around town here to get it. Because this one family that comes in from out of town, I understand she lived in Leechburg, and her brother-in-law lived in Apollo, and she used to come in for both of them. And I understand she was burned out, and she lives in Vandenberg, and she doesn't have anything now. So I understand she's going to be, so I got contacted them, and they will be in. So what's going to be and what they're going to order, I really don't know. But I did give the list, and I did tell who, what, when, and where, what to get. Told them where to get the chickens, where to get the meat.
Who did you give this to?
Well, I didn't want
to.
He
to the person. Oh, I'm sorry.
He didn't want his name on this. Because I asked him about it.
We don't want to reveal any names. No, that's right. No, that's important to the organization.
And I gave him where to buy them. Chickens, eggs, meat.
But it's one person, and he is responsible for everything.
Well, he will see, because I had these covered help, these black people, and they are terrific to help. In fact, they even call me to find out when I'm coming back. They do. They call me quite often. Nice. So I don't know, but they will help in their work, because they are. And they get, they're the only ones that get paid, because, and what do they get paid? $10? But they make the deliveries, and they help you pack, and they help do everything.
They do it partly out of the goodness of their hearts, too.
Well, and it's for $10, and we give them a box of food.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, we don't have that kind of money, but the box of food, if the groceries go up,
it's still worth something.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else that we had talked about or wondered about that we wanted to ask Mrs. Feinberg?
Not really, unless there's something with Lechem Aniyim's future that you'd like to discuss, because at this point it seems as if you've given the responsibility to one person. And last time I think you mentioned that he was not a very young person either.
No, well, and he's not a well person.
Mm-hmm. So that
but there is other, he is going, he's taking care with some other people.
Is it your feeling that there will be someone to pick up and do keep it going and keep it rolling for a long time now?
Well, I don't know for how long, because the young people do not want it. They don't want to be involved. And you talk to some of the younger ones, they don't know what the organization is. They never heard of it, which is true. They never heard of this. So the youngest one that's involved in this is over 60 years old. And this man that I talked to yesterday is over 60 also. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how long it's going to keep going or what.
But it sounds like it has really performed a very admirable service for the community, and it's filled in an area that nobody
else. Well, you'd be surprised how of some Jewish people that I talked to, and you mentioned it, Would you be surprised to tell you there's no poor Jews in prison?
Oh, I wish they were right. I wish they
you
were
hear
right.
That from Goyim that say
that's
that.
Different. That's different.
But from Jewish people that tell you there's no poor Jews.
I think that's a misconception that some people do have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because unfortunately there's a sizable group.
And you know,
particularly recently.
And at least according to Jewish religion, I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. If you, this is the Orthodox book, if somebody asks for food, I don't care how rich you are, you're not allowed to turn them down. You must give them food.
That's nice.
I mean, didn't you? Yeah. That is a custom. I remember when we first moved to Pittsburgh, we lived on Stevenson Street, and a black man came to the door at my mother, and he spoke Jewish to my mother, and he said he wanted something to eat. She took the meat out of the pot and gave him, we didn't have enough for ourselves, but she made sure he had food. She says, as long as I ask for food, you're not going to turn it back.
Well, I think that covers most of the questions that we had. I realized that, it wasn't a lot, but if we felt that these were blanks that we wanted to fill in our information. And
is
we
there
appreciate
anything else?
Everything that you've been able to tell us.
Do you know of anything else you want to ask?
Not really. Is there something that you feel that you want us to know that we should?
I'll tell you anything you want to know. I have nothing to hide.
Oh, sure.
When my son was living at home, or he used to come home during school, we went to the market. He was up at 2 o'clock to go with me.
So he used to help?
Mm-hmm. He helped. But now he's too busy. He can't come in.
No.
He'll be here for the Seder.
That's nice.
He'll be here to spend Pesach with me.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Well, what about your brothers? Do they get together with them?
Well, Harold won't come in because he's got his daughter down there and he'll be there. And they'll have Pesach. But my brother James will be home. So he and his wife and his son and his wife and the two little girls, they'll be here.
They'll come to your place?
Oh, yeah.
You do it? You make it for everybody?
Oh, yeah. I'll make the Seder. And my son and his wife will be here, so we'll have a nice crowd.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. I think part of the holiday is having the
family
together.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoying being together.
Look, I felt since I had that massive heart attack, which I pulled through, and the doctor said he really didn't expect it. I feel since I've had that, nothing is going to stop me from having everybody together.
Good for you.
I don't care who, what, when, and where. We're going to stay.
That's really awesome.
Because if I pulled through,
for a reason.
Yeah, as my son said, God didn't want you, and the devil's afraid of you, and you're a tough old bird, so you'll be around for a while.
Well, we certainly thank you for all the information that you've given us, and if something else comes up, we'll call you.
Call me.
Or if there's something else that you think of that you would like to
share
with us.
I don't have your phone numbers.
We'll give you those. Thank you for giving us this information about Lachlan and Ian.
And
the information about you and your family.
Well, if you want to know what we put in boxes for Passover, I'd be glad to tell you what we give them.
The specifics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We give them, everybody gets 5 or 10 pounds of matzah, according to the family. They get matzah milk.
Mm-hmm.
They get wine. They get eggs. They get cookies. They get jelly. Mm-hmm. They get candles. They get gefilte fish. They get horseradish. Oh, let me see what else they get. They get borscht.
That's a big
and cookies.
Did
I tell you they get tea bags? We used to get coffee, but we don't get coffee anymore. They get tomato sauce and tomato mushroom sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I think that covers everything.
It's a big package.
Then
very nice.
That is the one box. In the second box, they get two boxes.
Mm.
In the second box, They get potatoes, onions, celery, carrots, lettuce, apples, oranges, grapefruit, chicken.
That really is a lot.
Eggs, too. Did I tell you eggs before? Right. But they get, according to size family, how much you get.
And that's a very lot. That's a big.
Well, they don't
order.
Have to go out and buy too much.
Mm-hmm.
I usually give them between a 5.5 and 6 pound chicken.
Do most of the people who come to you use food stamps for other shopping?
Well, I really don't know because I never asked. You know what I mean? Another thing.
Would that be a criteria for you to think about if they need food stamps, they would need your help, or would that have nothing?
Well, if they do get food stamps, they never get enough.
I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. And another thing, some rabbis call us to give some to people.
Mm-hmm.
And another, Rabbi Posner has called me before. And
mm-hmm.
I want you to know that that's why we have these coloring men, because they've delivered to some of these people. They're older people, and they cannot come and get it themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's according to what's in season that you give your vegetables. Sometimes they get cucumbers and eggplants, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a zucchini, whatever the season,
mm-hmm.
and whatever's within season, then reasonable price.
Reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
How much is each package worth, would you say, round figure?
For peso? Let's say around peso, it's worth at least over $100.
Per family gets that big of a donation?
Mm. They get that big of a box. You figure out what Mati is. Mati's going to be high this year again.
So it's Passover donation worth about $100 each, and what about the regular one?
The regular is worth about $30 to $35. Or more. Don't forget, in the regular box, they get meat.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What, and so what's your budget around for the year again?
Well, listen, we don't have an exact budget because we have to go according to what we get donations.
Good.
And if prices are too high on some things, we don't
mm-hmm.
buy it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
I think that's
very
informative. One.
Mm-hmm.
It fills in the spaces that we realize.
You know, like I tell people, call and say they didn't get a this and they didn't get that. I says, I'm sorry, you'll have to go buy it. There's nothing I can do.
No more money left.
And the money is not coming in like it used to.
Does Lechemanium have its own account and its own tax number like an organization would?
Yes.
And
yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't donating like they used
mm-hmm.
to. Big donations are coming down to smaller donations.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Listen, after all, the people got their own families to take care of too.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It was very interesting to talk to you.
I enjoyed it.
We did too.